It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. As always, you can find this podcast on our website at HaleyMarketing.com. You can also find it on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and we're happy to tell you that we are now on Spotify. So if you like listening to podcasts via Spotify, you can find us there as well. Just search for Secrets of Staffing Success on all of those platforms and you'll be able to find us. Well, our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the CEO of Elite Staffing Solutions in Wichita, Kansas. He is Chris Rickerson. Chris, thank you so much for joining us this week.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We usually start by having our guests give us their 60-second elevator pitch on their business, but your backstory is so interesting that I want to hold off on that for a little bit. Let's start way back here. Tell us what life was like for you at 13 years old.
You know, it's really hard for me to just dive right into this stuff without really getting into kind of some of the backstory. You know, when you say, hey, what was life at 13, that's well into my life. And so, so again, my dad left when I was three before I remember, and my mom was a drug addict. And so my earliest childhood memories for the most part are, you know, I remember waiting outside the closet door for my mom to come out from doing drugs. And I remember bending my cereal spoons back into shape to be able to eat cereal. And I think it's important to get that stuff out there because, later on in life, I would struggle with my own addictions. And a lot of times what people want to do is they want to look down their nose at people and say, well, you know, how'd you wind up there, or be judgmental. And I just want to kind of, express the caution in that because again, anyone going through what I went through as a child probably wouldn't be half the man I am today, and we shouldn't look down our nose and be so quick to judge when, again, I tell you, my mom was a junkie, and I spent a lot of my childhood waiting by a closet door, so you never know how you wind up or how you would survive through that or what, you know, winds up becoming of you. And so, yeah, I would grow, you know, going to boys' homes and detention centers all across the state. At the time when I was put in there, it wasn't in any fault of my own, but when they put you in there with a bunch of hoodlums, you come out a hoodlum. And so then I would struggle, you know, trying to, you know, figure out what I was, you know, coming out of those situations. And, I struggled, you know, to say the least.
You had your own battles with drugs and alcohol or?
I did. When I finally wound up back at my mom's house, I remember, you know, sitting back and thinking, man, I watched all the drug dealers come and go, and I watched all my mom's money go to drugs. And I said, well, you know, if I were selling drugs, heck, I could even have that money, right? Mm-hmm. And so as a young teenager, you know, 14, 15, I began to sell drugs. And so then I would wind up battling addiction, and I would become what's commonly referred to as a convicted felon, right? Mm-hmm. And narrowly avoid prison and went to treatment about 13 years ago. And so 13 years ago, I went to drug treatment. I found Jesus in treatment. And as you know, cliche as that sounds, the Holy Spirit wrecked me, in that process. And I'd remember going to church and I'd just be bawling like a baby. Mm. And it took me quite some time before I really got to understand the concept of what it means for me. You know, at the time I would go to church on Sundays and I thought I was a Christian and that was the extent of it. And so after treatment, I go to, what's known as an Oxford House, which I'm a huge advocate of. It's a really cool program. And I would begin to try to live life clean and sober and try to figure out, you know, what to make of it. 2.5 years into the Oxford House, I had a baby, and it was out of wedlock, and, I did not have a desire to be in that relationship, and I wound up with that baby in my lap. So here I am, I'm a 26 year old male, living in an Oxford house, trying to get my life back together. And I've got a 6-month-old baby in my lap, and you can't have a baby in an Oxford house. So I had to figure out how to get a place and just try to put that all together. Again, I know this is a staffing show, so if you want me to like stop, intervene, then you can.
No, this is all building up towards, you know, what you guys have built there at Elite Staffing, and we'll definitely get there. We hear so many times addicts, before they get to that recovery point, before they get to that kind of aha moment where they need to turn their life around, they have that bottoming out. They hit rock bottom. Did you have a moment like that before you finally decided enough was enough?
You know, I was homeless, you know, in the traditional sense. Is not, you know, I don't mean homeless like I slept on a bench, but I didn't have a home. I really sold drugs, and I went from house to house to house, and my life was miserable. But honestly, I think for me, you know, a lot of people, I think, get put in prison and then they think, oh, this isn't so bad. I had a fear of prison for me, that I'm not built for prison. It wasn't a place that I wanted to see. And so, you know, I think the fear of that is what really got me clean. I was court ordered to go to treatment. So again, you know, it wasn't like I hit some point where I decided, well, you know, I'm going to get into treatment. I was made to go to treatment even. And, I don't know. I always had a lot of drive, a lot of passion, and, I just focused it in a negative direction. So when I finally figured out, you know, that, you know, I have a lot of drive. I can tell you that for sure.
Were you ever able to reconcile with your mother?
My mom's clean. So, she had a stroke. She got clean. She lives with me right now. I bought her a little house, that I hope to transition her into. And again, I'm really adamant about my faith. And I think that as we kind of progress through the story, if you allow me the opportunity to get to that point, the things that I'm doing today and the man that I am today is a result of my faith and my belief systems. And, and the fact that when I tell you that as a child, I said, well, I'll never be what my mom was, or even better yet, when my mom needs me, when I'm older and she needs me, I'll never be there for her. And I told her myself that. I told myself that. I remember eating an egg sandwich on her front porch. I was starving, and I went and I had an egg sandwich. She was out there screaming at me like I was a dog, man. So literally, I'll tell you that I told myself I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
And that it's that I'm real into my word, and I'm real into my Bible, and I'm real into my faith. And in that book, it says very plainly, it says you take care of your mom and your dad. Yeah. And it doesn't say, hey, if your mom was a drug addict, you don't have to. It doesn't say, hey, you know, if they were bad parents, you don't have to. And as a man of faith, then I have to say that I don't get to pick and choose what parts of that book I listen to. And so it really is a testament to the grace and mercy of God that I, you know, today I bought my mom a house, and, you know, that it only he gets the credit for that, man.
How difficult was it for you to forgive your mother for, was there a lot of resentment? Was there a lot of anger before you got to that point where, you know, as you said, the Bible says we take care of our parents? Was that a tough transition to make?
It's almost like I've tried really, really hard, and I want to, in my mind, I want to forgive her. So with staffing, I'll give you some good examples. The difference between me and me that I am today and the me that would have never been, or could not be what I am today, is owning my stuff. So for example, most people who come through my doors who are stuck in the situation where they're kind of just stuck, they don't own their mess. It's always somebody else's fault. Yeah. My mom, the system, the judge, my PO, whatever it is, they're blaming everyone else but themselves.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you definitively that, and today my main thing, like, do I own a staffing company? Absolutely I do. Am I very successful at what I do? Absolutely I am. But you know what I'm more about than I am about staffing? Building people up, pointing them in the right direction, giving them hope, and showing them that it can be done. And so I'm really adamant about that. And so just really getting people to understand that a lot of what stops most people is themselves. They won't own their mess. And at some point, I quit blaming everybody else, And I said, look, this is my mess. This is where I'm going, and nothing is going to stop me from getting there. Hmm. And that's it, man. A lot of that is just attitude, frame of mind, and owning your mess.
Hmm. So I guess it's a good transition here. How did you get from, you know, like you said, being in your mid-20s, finally clean and sober, you have a kid, you're out on your own now. How do you make that transition to the staffing industry? I'm guessing there were probably a lot of steps along the way, a lot of jobs along the way before you settled into the staffing industry.
Well, I got a job and I was tending brick, hauling brick manually up scaffolding for $8 an hour. That was my first job. My first job in sobriety and moving forward and trying to turn my life around. And then I got a job for, running poker tournaments for, the amateur poker league. I was doing basically bar poker. You go into the establishment and run poker tournaments. And then, I got a job dispatching tanker trucks, monitoring major organizations, Quick Trip, Sam's Club, fuel levels. And then assigning the equipment to the drivers and, allocating the products and loading them and shipping them out. And I did that for, I think 3 years or so. And one day I just responded to a Craigslist ad, what was this, nine years ago, to a staffing company that was looking for a sales rep. And, here at this point, I've got three kids and I am, coming from what I come from and just passionate. And so I became a sales rep. And there are two kinds of salespeople, and anyone who owns a staffing company is pretty familiar with the two wide swings. You either got the guy who's sitting at the golf course saying he's doing sales, or you got the guy that's out there beating on doors. And I was that guy. I beat on every door in this town, and I didn't have experience. There was no training program, but I said, if you'll give me a shot, I'll kill myself for you. Mm. That's exactly what I did, man. And I went out there and I grinded it out. My last year there, I was pacing. I was on a base. Kansas cost of living is really low. Medium household income is 70 a year. And on my last year there, I was pacing to make 70. So, that's combined household income. I was doing that by myself. Not bad for a recovering addict, and so I was doing pretty good. I worked for some guys who were negligent in their business and disconnected from their organization. And, they couldn't determine who was an asset versus a liability. And it just wasn't a good work environment. So I eliminated the non-compete agreement. And in September of 2013, I launched my company. My first full year, I did $1.5 million in revenue. My second year, I grew 60-something%. I was the fastest growing company in my city. Last year, I was a Chamber of Commerce finalist for the Small Business of the Year within my city. This year, I was the fastest growing company in the state of Kansas and on Inc. Magazine's top 500 fastest growing companies in the United States. I was number 160. So, and as great as all of that is, man, I got to tell you, tomorrow I'm going down to Oklahoma visit with, they're going to pool three youth detention facilities together to one place. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to speak to those kids and I'm going to point to Jesus and I'm going to, tell them this is what I was and this is what I am. And I'm going to try to impact those kids before they become adult inmates and just try to make a difference.
Yeah.
My company, my mission statement is people before profit. Does that mean I'm not going to make money? No, it doesn't. But I'll tell you what, if I put my people on a job and you're not going to treat my people like people, then you're going to be someone else's customer, because I'm going to make a stand and just stand up for my people. I'm going to treat them with respect and I'm going to put them in good environments and I'm going to bear witness and testify to them that there is hope. And it, that goes a long ways, man.
Absolutely. When you wrap it all up succinctly like that, it sounds like, from the time you decide to go out on your own till the time you're profitable, it sounds like almost like an overnight success story. But I have to imagine in those early months that there were some of those, oh boy, what have I gotten myself into here moments. I obviously your faith is a huge part of it, but were there other things that you kind of relied on to get you through those kind of lean early months?
Well, let me tell you that for the last 6 years, I've been raising those three little boys by myself. And then on top of that, building the fastest growing company in the state of Kansas. And I have to be brutally honest here and tell you, I have more of those moments today than I ever had then. I was so driven and passionate, and I could do it all by myself. And it was so much easier when I was in control of everything, because that's how I've spent my whole life. That's my attitude that got me where I'm at.
Yeah.
But now that's not the case anymore. I can't do it all. It's physically impossible. Now I have to depend on people and work on my management skills, which I'm horrible at. And so I have more of those moments today than I ever had then.
So where do you turn to? Is, you know, obviously beyond your faith, is there a mentor that you have? Are there books that you rely on? You know, networking groups? Who kind of helps you get through those moments now?
I am a member of Vistage, which is a very expensive organization where CEOs come together and kind of talk through their problems. I'm on a pretty aggressive strategy for the quarter. I've implemented new software. I'm in the integration process or implementation process of that right now. And I am getting out of the little office that I'm in and moving. But in addition to that, I'm in the market for a operations manager. So if you know anybody, send them my way.
You mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I want to get into this in a little bit more detail. Your company is not hesitant to help people who themselves have hit rock bottom. People who probably a lot of other staffing firms would have just ignored. Why is that so important to you?
I want to go back into, you know, that it is a staffing company and we all have our clients, and some of those clients are willing to accept felons, some aren't, and I just roll with that. I'm a bit of a hybrid agency, so I do a lot of temporary labor. I do a lot of manufacturing temp to permanent placements, and I do a good $60,000 a year in direct hire placements. So I just field a safety director, looking for a human resources person right now. And so I do some high-end placements, but I'm very broad in my spectrum. My name is on everyone, and I live in that place. And because of my past, it makes me amazingly great at what I do. You're not going to come in my office sideways on any kind of substance and go to work for me. I can just tell you plain and simple.
Yeah.
So it really is – I'm just – really bred and built. I believe God put me right where, dude, you might come into my office and catch me praying with my people. You know, I give a insane amount of money back to my community via charitable organizations and churches. And I'm all about giving back and building people up, man. And that's just truly my passion. So yes, I love to help people. I love to give people second chances. But if you think that envision, we all have that, you know, whatever that image is of horrible day labor staffing and the product that comes out with that.
Yeah.
I promise you, you don't get where I'm at and do the numbers that I'm doing by sending out a subpar product. So while I like to give people an opportunity, I do not mess around with my business and I put out great representatives of myself. But at some point in time, somebody came across me and said, you know what, I'm going to give that kid a chance. And you know what? They had the most badass worker they ever had because they gave somebody a chance. Nobody else would. So, you know, if you don't give somebody, if you don't give an offender an opportunity, treat them like people, what are they going to do? What are their other options?
Yeah. The story here is so great. I honestly could really just talk about your backstory for hours here. It's, I think as human beings, we like the hard luck story. We like the comeback story. You know, there's a lot of those stories out there. The story, though, of the success of your company is also so interesting. You put the numbers out there earlier about how quickly you guys became profitable and the growth that you've seen over the past couple of years. In, you know, about 4 years now, you've grown to a $3 million plus organization. What have been the one or two keys to that rapid growth for you?
You want to know what most of it is service. Service is lost in the staffing industry. You know, you get a manager running your shop and they're pushing a product out that they don't really care about or whatever. My office opens at 5:15 a.m. You'll always be able to reach the owner on the phone, you know, at least for the foreseeable future. And it's mostly service. Service and making sure we're putting out a good product. And I know maybe product is a bad word. Can I retract that?
Yeah, absolutely. No,
just putting out the best quality candidate we can.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's, you don't go from what I come from to be the man, dude. people all over out there are a lot of talk and hype about, you know, whatever it is they claim to be, and they represent this whatever. With me, I'm an open book, man. Yeah. I am what I claim to be. I live it. I walk it out. The things that I've been through are real, and it's not just some whatever. So I got a lot of passion, a lot of drive, a lot of determination. I'm real serious about my business. Got a great team. It's just too much to, I don't really know. I can't really size it up. I know I'm the best at what I do in my market.
That's an interesting point that you bring up about that genuineness. And I was going to ask you about this. If I don't want this to sound foolish, but if you use your past as a selling point, really, and I don't mean to trivialize that. I just mean if you're upfront and honest with people, yeah, does that work to your advantage?
Here's my thing. So I'm gonna take a right turn on you, if that's okay.
Sure, sure.
I went to Inc. Magazine's Inc. 5000. I'm in that room with the best, most brilliant, successful, business-minded individuals in our country, and I'm there talking about how I was a 3-time convicted felon drug addict. And I'll tell you what I felt in telling that story, and keep in mind, I'm number 160 on that list, right?
Yeah.
Out of 5000 in that, dude, but I felt shame and guilt, and judgment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is it's me. A lot of that is me.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it was really good for me it was good for me because I took a stand there that I was going to share my testimony and give my story and point to Jesus, right? That I'm going to do that there. And if I can do that there, and I've got basically two options. I can either keep it to myself and pretend to be somebody I'm not and help absolutely no one, or I can tell my story, share it, feel those feelings of guilt and shame and judgment and whatever those uncomfortable feelings are, but impact and help as many people as I can touch.
Yeah.
And so if I took that stand there, I'll take that stand right here on your radio show. And I'll say that, you know what? That at least I'm going to impact and help people, and people are going to gain. Do I go around trying to get business on that? No. Matter of fact, it is not conducive at all to say this is what I was in business.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that I've decided that helping people today is more important than building. So, you know, was about money in the beginning, right? I want to be financially successful. And I believe that God used that drive to get me where I'm at. But today it's about reaching people, trying to point people out of the darkness and get them to see the light that's around them and just being a light.
And I imagine the fact that you are giving these people a second chance, when you're taking a chance on them when probably not a lot of other people would, I would imagine that instills a certain sense of loyalty towards you, that your candidate base is probably a little more loyal than most of our staffing companies' candidates are.
So let me explain the vetting process, and this is a 1-2 punch. Anybody who can pull this off, I know your listeners are a lot of staffing companies. This is a 1-2 punch right here. My office opens at 5:15 a.m. People from all over the city show up at my lobby. I say, hey, you want to work? Bring boots and a good attitude. We'll see you in the morning, 5:15 a.m. That eliminates 80% of the people right there. The ones who show up want to go to work.
Yeah.
So I put them on some construction sites. Every major construction company in my market uses my services. And we find out who the winners are. We find out who shows up, works hard, represents me well, and then I move them to the permanent jobs. I've got enough temporary work. I can keep the good ones busy 40 hours a week, and we promote from within. So I don't just stamp my name on, you know, some hoodlum that comes through my office and says, hey, I want to go to work and whatever. We give them, I'll give them a shot, and if they're good, then we keep them busy and just kind of maneuver through it.
We're getting close to the end of 2017 here, and we've talked about your tremendous growth over the past 3 years. What type of strategic planning do you undergo to ensure that this growth continues into 2018?
Well, I'll tell you that I launched my second location in Indianapolis, Indiana, when my company was a year old, and it was very educational. I opened a business halfway across the country. I didn't lose money. It turned a profit, and it was okay. It was very educational. But when I started this thing, I did wind up shutting that office down. When I started this thing, I wanted to open 10 of these across the country, and I wanted to, that was my goal. Today, I'm not sure that's the case, but I've decided for sure before I look at expansion, what I must do is perfect this one. And so I'm very confident I can double my numbers in this market. And so I'm just kind of one step at a time, one foot in front of me, one day at a time. And, but you certainly haven't heard the last of me, I can tell you that.
I don't doubt that at all. I think the one thing that we have learned about you in this conversation is your drive. I can hear it in every word that you utter, that there's not really anything that's going to stop you right now. But as you look, as you look for through the next year, you know, there's issues in the staffing industry that you know are at the forefront now, finding great candidates, finding great talent. Where do you see the biggest challenge coming in 2018?
For me, it's purely management. I built this amazing thing. I've got this amazing team. I really have to find that manager to help me to take this thing to the next level. So that's really the only thing, you know, stopping me.
Last question I have for you before we let you go is I'm curious with recovering addicts. Can you live with regret over your past, or do you look at it as I went through this to get me to where I am today?
I can live with regrets in my past. I can't live with any more moving forward. I have enough regrets in my life that I'm not comfortable, you know, with them moving forward. You know? So the things I went through made me who I am today, made me amazing at what I do. Give me the drive and the gratitude and the gratefulness to bring me to my knees to Jesus. Right. So I matter of fact, I embrace my past. I think that there are a lot of people out there who, you know, have wealth and they don't appreciate it, or they have, you know, whatever it is that they want and they just don't appreciate it, man. I'm grateful every day, every day.
I think that's a really great lesson for all of us, no matter what our past is just to have that gratefulness and that gratitude for everything that we have. And unfortunately, not a lot of people can get to that point. And I think that's incredible that you have.
Last thing I want to leave you with, man, like you can tell I'm really passionate. I'm passionate about everything I do, but mostly I'm passionate about giving back and, you know, doing motivational speaking and not for pay even. This deal where I'm going to Oklahoma to speak to these kids, man, I'm doing that because I just want to impact. We all have the ability to impact people in a positive or a negative direction, man. Yeah. And I am just really about, you know, building people up and helping people. And if my story can help people, then I'm all about that. And that's why I share it so openly. And so please keep me in mind because, you know, it's my calling. God told me 10 years ago I was going to do, you know, outreach on a major scale. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold tight to that promise.
He's Chris Rickerson. He's the CEO of Elite Staffing Solutions. You can check out their website at wichitastaffing.com. You know, Chris, at the end of every one of these interviews, I thank our guests for sharing their insight. And I feel like I need to, that thank you is not enough here, that your, the sharing of your story and the sharing of what you have been through. I know that you're probably at a great place where it's a catharsis for you right now, but I know that it's not always easy to look back on a situation like you've had. So I really cannot thank you enough for sharing your story and sharing how you've gotten here with all of our listeners. And just like I said, thank you doesn't seem like strong enough a word right now.
Man, the glory for my story goes to Christ, and I'm going to hammer that in. So it's my pleasure.
Chris Rickerson from Elite Staffing Solutions in Wichita, Kansas. Boy, how do you sum something like that up? This is usually the point of the show where I give you some sort of takeaway from there, but I don't know. And anything I feel like I say after that one is just going to seem, is going to kind of pale in comparison to the story that we just heard there. You know, I guess the takeaway here is never give up and be grateful. I loved what he said, and you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving here. It's a perfect time for that message, just to be thankful and grateful for everything that we have. And when clients are getting us down and candidates aren't showing up for their jobs, and just, you know, kind of remember the bigger picture here. Kind of remember what we're all here for. You know, I liked what he said about giving people a chance too. You know, If our president and CEO, David Stearns, hadn't given me a chance 15 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here hosting this show right now. So there's a lot of people out there that, on all different levels, you know, not just substance abuse, but, you know, on many different levels, people that just need a chance and be willing to take a little bit of a risk and take a little bit of a gamble, because more often than not, it's going to pay off for you. So I think that was my big takeaway from today's episode. So my thanks again to Chris Rickerson from Elite Staffing Solutions. You can check him out at wichitastaffing.com. You can check us out at haleymarketing.com. Follow us on Twitter at haleymarketing.com, on really all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just search for Haley Marketing Group. You can subscribe to this podcast as well on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, on Spotify. Just search for Secrets of Staffing Success. If you have an iPhone and you want to use the podcast app, comes with every iPhone now, and if you're not familiar with podcasts, just check out the podcast app. Again, search for Secrets of Staffing Success, and you can have every brand new episode of this show sent directly to your phone. Want to thank you all for listening. We will talk to you in a couple weeks for another great edition of Secrets of Staffing Success.